BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk each weekday afternoon at the same time here on the VCY American Network. And I think you'll find today's program to be quite intriguing. You know, ever since Elon Musk announced that he was going to make a bid for Twitter, there was an uproar that took place across the nation, really. And amongst those, primarily coming from the left end of the spectrum, many were very concerned how he might upend the company. And many, no doubt, were concerned that things would be exposed, which they are. Many left when he took over, and many have been released from their employment since he has taken over and have seen the bias that has happened in this company. Well, in the wake of the ownership change, Elon Musk has called his organization Twitter. He's called it both a social media platform and a crime scene. I mean, there are revelations that back up previous allegations and expose what was going on behind the scenes, cover-up, disinformation, censorship, shadow banning of conservatives, and more. Well, our guest today has been covering the Twitter files and reports that he's been writing for The New American. His name is R. Court Kirkwood, a contributing writer to The New American. He's also a former newspaper editor. And, Court, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Well, thank you very much for having me again.
So what's your reaction to Elon Musk calling Twitter both a social media platform and a crime scene? Do you agree?
Well, I'm not looking at the files but I'll trust them.
Yeah.
I mean, he owns the company. He knows what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are several interesting things about Musk's takeover. You know, when conservatives were bellyaching about what was going on at Twitter with the censorship and the shadow banning and the deleting of accounts, you know, the leftists were saying, well, hey, this is a private company. They can do whatever they want. So when Musk bought it, we have Keith Olbermann and Rob Reiner calling for investigations. There is something going on. Musk needs to be indicted. I mean, just insane things.
Yeah.
So they never really believed that Twitter was the equivalent of a public bulletin board where anybody could post anything they wanted politically. They viewed it as their playground. Certain conservatives, mostly controlled opposition, would be tolerated, provided they didn't cross certain lines. But, you know, America First or immigration patriots or people that say things that were contrary to the received wisdom of either the radical left or the deep state, you know, they were purged or shadow banned or their posts were limited.
You've used her term, but there are many who said we don't know what shadow banning is. So define what shadow banning is.
Well, what happens is you're tweeting, but you're not getting any response or visibility.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're using their control of the platform to limit the reach of your
posting.
Of your post.
Yeah.
I mean, I see this all the time. I mean, there are people I follow that I never see in my Twitter feed,
mm-hmm.
ever. And I follow them. So if I want to know what they're saying on Twitter, I actually have to go to their page. I have to actually go to their Twitter account and then look at it.
Didn't Twitter deny that they were shadow banning?
Oh, yeah, of course they denied it. And that's ridiculous. Of course they're shadow banning. Now, mm-hmm. But the thing is, you know, Musk, we have to understand something about Musk. He is now being called a member of the far right because of the things he has said about Twitter and the issue of free speech on Twitter. But that's ridiculous. He voted for Biden, he voted for Clinton, and he voted for Obama.
Mm-hmm. That's not really characteristic of a person on the far
right. Where did we get this idea the guy is a far rightist?
Mm-hmm.
Or a member of the alt-right, as they call it. This is just a smear. It's not a smear, but it's an inaccurate representation of this guy's politics. So they have so they can continue to attack him because he's actually one of their own, but he appears to be an honest leftist who says, no, we're not going to let this platform do this to people. It's supposed to be an open platform, and that's the way it's going to function. And this, I believe, also is why the radical left and the Democrats were so upset that he took over. Two reasons. One, he's going to make this place a real free speech platform. People are going to be able to say things, and if leftists don't like it, well, that's too bad. You know, second, I think many of them knew, I can't say which ones, I think many of them, including prominent Democrats, you know, like Elizabeth Warren, and I'm not saying her particularly, but people like her, I think they knew that Twitter was being used, you know, it was basically that the leadership of Twitter was operating as an arm of the Democratic Party pre-presidential election 2020. I think they knew it. And I think they knew they were going to get caught if Elon Musk got into those files. That's why they were so upset about it. They knew the game was up. Now, what Musk will do in the future, you know, we can't know. He's only owned the platform for a short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we do know things have improved already. You know, he's gotten rid of a very hard left, dangerous people that were in charge of that platform.
Let's back up a little bit, and some of the things that have happened will look, you know, toward the future as well. But this issue is so large. Let's talk about the FBI, the Department of Homeland Security. To what extent was their involvement into the policies and decision making going on at Twitter?
Well, I think that all you need to know is that Twitter people, particularly this guy Roth, Joel Roth, who is their head of trust and safety, quote unquote, were meeting with these federal agencies. And I mean, to the degree that he could, I'm sure he was carrying out their mandates. And I think here's an example, you know, this Hunter Biden laptop story. You know, that was suppressed by Twitter almost immediately. And they were directly working, Twitter executives, we're directly working with Biden campaign people. And if you look at the Twitter files, you'll see, for example, there's a message, an internal Twitter message, in which someone writes, well, the Biden team says these tweets have to be stopped.
Well,
and a couple of them obviously were about Hunter Biden. And then the message that came back was, you know, this has been handled or handled. So essentially the platform was working. Well, some Republicans were saying that it was an in-kind political contribution. The Federal Election Commission denied that. But basically Republicans were saying by doing this for Biden, you're contributing to the campaign.
Yeah, yeah. But doing it for
Biden—that's really irrelevant to me. I couldn't care less about whether they considered that a campaign contribution or not for legal purposes. The real import of it is that Twitter directly interfered in the election by withholding a critical story, by shutting down they not only shut down the story, the Hunter Biden laptop story on Twitter. They temporarily suspended the New York Post's Twitter feed. It was outrageous. So we know now that Twitter directly interfered with the presidential election by withholding a major news story that could have adversely affected the campaign of this non-compos mentis Alzheimer's patient we got in the White House.
Okay. Couldn't you also say the same, really, though, about ABC, CBS, NBC? And, I mean, anybody
that suppressed a story was did the same thing. Yes, and the media followed along with this. It took the New York Times just recently admitted that the laptop was authentic. They didn't want to know. First of all, anybody with any sense knew that this was real, that it was not Russian disinformation. Anybody with a brain that looked at that original story and looked at these original emails knew that it was authentic, just in the New York Post report. But here's the thing. Even if you didn't believe the New York Post, a couple of days later, some other media outlets, conservative media outlets, hired their own experts, and they confirmed it. So there was absolutely no reason for the media to suppress the story. You know, the media is an arm. The mainstream media is an arm of the Democratic Party. It's its media information ministry. All you have to do is spend one day reading the New York Times or the Washington Post or CNN. You can see it.
Right, right.
It's ridiculous. It's insane.
Now, we understand that DHS, FBI, I mean, the like of those officials, I've seen some reports saying they were actually meeting regularly, some even reported weekly with Twitter as to what things to cover or to block.
Yeah, they were meeting regularly with Twitter. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
The FBI and these federal agencies were meeting with Twitter. I think, as I recall, I did a different story a couple of weeks ago that said, in which we learned that a couple of the FBI people that were in charge of censoring material, I believe it was, I are in charge of tamping down the story, were actually contributors to the Democrat Party, or to the Democrat candidates, I should say.
Hmm. Elon Musk actually called it election interference. I mean, he used that term, election interference, as to the
policy. He's absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I'm sitting on a story, what if the story had been about Joe Biden's laptop?
Yeah.
I mean, forgetting all the crazy immoral stuff that Hunter Biden was doing with the women and the sex and all that. What if it were Joe Biden's laptop that had copies of all those emails about you know the Ukrainians and the Chinese and Joe's the big guy? What if Joe Biden, or better yet, what if it had been somebody else's laptop that got left inadvertently at a repair shop, or that somebody had leaked? There's no doubt that the Hunter Biden laptop and was censored. There's no doubt that Twitter essentially operated as an arm of the Democratic Party. Now, the other part of this story is the ideological, the ideology of the people who control Twitter, who are hardcore leftists who do not want you to say that they don't want to have a debate. Not that there should be a debate, because this is a ridiculous debate, but they're not going to let you challenge this bogus transgender ideology or this bogus transgender movement. So if you call someone a groomer, you know, one of these public school teachers that's parading around in drag in front of kids, If you call that person a groomer, this guy Roth is going to come down on you. Well, we know why that is. You know, he's a flaming homosexual. That's the other part of the story. Apart from the election interference, it's the vicious attack on conservatives by these Twitter executives anytime they tweeted anything that these crazy leftists at Twitter didn't like.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. R. Court Kirkwood, our guest today, contributing writer to The New American. We are up against a break, friends. And when we come back, we're going to delve into another aspect of information learned as it relates to the removal of a sitting president being banned from Twitter. I mean, a shocking decision that came down January 8th of 2021 and basing things upon January 6th. So we'll get into that part of the story after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, are whales related to any land animals?
Chris, evolutionists think they are. In fact, this is one of their strongest arguments these days, that whales evolved from land animals with legs. Some say that the ancestor looked like a cow or maybe a wolf or a hippopotamus. Well, I think they're all wrong. Recently, the head portion of a whale fossil was found in California. It didn't have the rear portion at all, but this didn't keep evolutionists from claiming that they had small rear legs. Chris, why do we believe them? Why do even evolutionists believe them when they make up stories like this? The Bible says that God created whales on day 5 of creation week. They've always been whales, and they still are whales. Even whales go back to Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
The Twitter Files, that's our topic today. R. Court Kirkwood, our guest, and Court is a contributing writer to The New American. Their website, thenewamerican.com. You'll find coverage on this issue and so many more that the major media across this country will not pick up or certainly give you a distorted view or suppress or shadow ban you from getting the information submitted to them. Court, one of the shocking decisions came on January 8th, 2021, when a sitting president, Donald Trump, banned from Twitter. I'd like you to comment on what's going on here at this time, because I know there's some significant things going on between January 6th and January 8th when the president was removed. What can you tell us about it?
Well, what occurred was, they'd been looking for an excuse to ban him for years, but they could never quite get him. You know, they could never quite justify it according to their policy. So he wrote those two tweets on January 8th. Very innocuous tweets. They didn't incite anybody to anything. But these leftists decided, okay, this is our chance. They had something to hang our hat on. And despite the fact that they really internally admitted that these two tweets on January 8th really didn't violate any policy, they decided to ban them anyway. Now, here's what they did. You know, Twitter has what you call a public policy exception. So, in other words, a politician or a public figure, according to their policy, would be allowed to say things that they would normally ban if you said it. But because it's a public official and it's newsworthy and it might add information to a story or information to the public debate, they would allow those tweets to go on. They just simply flattened that policy and banned Trump anyway. And a lot of it was obviously because of internal employees who were really jumping all over Jack Dorsey and other top executives to ban Trump. There were some people inside Twitter who were very concerned about the precedent it would set. And if you go back and look at what Trump said, it was innocuous. There was absolutely no reason to ban Trump for those two tweets. He never abdicated violence or any such thing. Now, here's the interesting thing. To me, the more interesting part is not that they violated their own policy to ban Trump. It's that they didn't follow their own policy and ban other people who had said outrageous and crazy things, like calling for the genocide of the French people or calling for the extinction of Israel and things like that. And those tweets sometimes were not stopped. The owners of the accounts were not banned. And so there's your contrast. Yeah. In other words, they were simply obsessed with POTUS 45. Yeah. It was never a matter of, did this man really violate our policies? Did he really incite? There was nothing like that. I mean, all you got to do is look at the tweets and you'll see that. They hated Trump because he threatened them, because he threatened leftist control of the country. Remember, just because Trump was president, that doesn't mean that, leftists are totally out of power. So, this is a man that had a movement going that could have, I think, possibly threatened that base, possibly. And they said, no, we can't allow this to go on. This guy's too dangerous. He's and so, bam, there he goes. He's off Twitter, and it cripples him, obviously, makes him look bad. And so there, they have it. They violate, there was no violation of any of their policies, which they admitted internally.
The New American just released a story Monday of this week that you wrote, and you indicate that the key enforcer behind President Trump's permanent ban from Twitter was none other than the trust and safety chief, Yul Roth, a homosexual who in 2017 claimed actual Nazis were in the White House. So,
Nazis in the White House. I mean, the man is deranged. He's obsessed. Here he was obsessed. Listen, you have to understand something. This guy, knowing what he does, knowing how he describes himself and the way he comports his life, this is a man with a disordered mind. And so, you have to look at it from that perspective. And so when you look at this guy, particularly his past tweets, which I may be doing a story on that sometime soon, but this is a fellow who's definitely a little off his rocker when it came to Trump. I mean, he just hated the guy, and he's going to get rid of him. It's just very indicative of kind of this whole culture at Twitter. I mean, it's La La Land at that place. Yeah. Until Musk got there, I guess he's done a lot to clean it out.
So, is there any role that the Obamas had in getting rid of Trump, getting Trump
well,
in?
Well, you know, Michelle Obama was encouraging Twitter to get rid of Trump, as were other top public officials. Yeah, we got to get rid of this guy. He's got to be stopped, you know. So, yes. I mean, the great thing about the release of the Twitter files is it really gave you a look at the inside of the sausage factory. Mm-hmm. You know, it really provided a glimpse into how dangerous these people actually are when they're in control of a major media platform.
What was there any internal?
I mean, a lot of people get the only places they get their news are Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah.
So if leftists, if virtual communists, really, I mean, culturally, I mean, when I say communist, I don't mean people to talk about the labor theory of value. I'm talking about, you know, cultural totalitarians and political totalitarians, those kinds of communists. You know, when you have them in control of a major media platform, that's a very dangerous thing.
Because
that's not what media platforms are supposed to be, particularly when they advertise themselves and they are protected by Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act. They are protected from defamation claims. You can't sue Twitter. You can't, if I say something bad or false about you, you can't sue Twitter for defamation. You have to sue me directly.
Hmm.
Because, and the basis of that is that these, Facebook and Twitter, that these are public bulletin boards and they're not regulated. So they're not responsible for the content. But that's not true anymore. In other words, the Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, they're not publishers in the same sense that a newspaper publisher or a book publisher is, where the publisher is responsible for the content, legally responsible for the content that's coming out. So because of that, because they are not public, they have been ruled not to be publishers. Well, they don't carry any liability for anything that's on their platform, so they can't be sued. The problem is this: they're behaving as publishers, and all these Twitter files shows that they're behaving as publishers, because they were banning people, they were deleting tweets. That's what publishers do. Okay, so it's, you know, although they portray themselves as here's how they portray themselves: we're just like that little bulletin board up at the grocery store where people pin up pictures of free cats. That's essentially what they were claiming they were. They had no control over it, but that's not true. They're
right.
Censoring people all the time.
All the time, yeah.
And their legal liability exemptions come specifically from an understanding that they do not control content.
Court,
how long that can stand, I don't know.
Court, was there internal pushback going on at Twitter from those who thought, hey, we're taking things too far here?
Just a little bit. I mean, you know, there was one person when Trump was being banned. She said, "Well, you know, I'm from China, and I'm not sure this is a really good idea."
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were other people too. Hey, I hate to be the fly in the ointment, but is this really the way we ought to be proceeding? This doesn't look like a good idea to me. You know, squelching our sitting president, and you know, actually, this is the funny thing: other foreign leaders in Europe were very concerned that Twitter had banned Trump. Probably, and not just because he's a sitting head of state, they probably couldn't figure out what the heck he had done wrong, but he didn't do anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
This is the other thing. The one video where he's told, you know, I'm sure you've seen it, where he told, look, everybody go home. We don't want any violence. We cannot have violence. They took that down.
It's amazing.
So to the degree that anyone played a role in furthering the quote unquote insurrection, which it wasn't, but in the violence that broke out in that mostly peaceful protest at the Capitol, to the degree that anyone played a role in it, Twitter did, by banning Trump's tweet that told people to go home and not be violent.
Yeah. You know, so we've got the January 6th issue. We've got certainly the leading up to the election, not only the 2020, but also even the most recent one, 2022. But I'd like to also bring the COVID shot thing into this as well, because Dr. Fauci testified in a deposition to the Solicitor General of Missouri that his daughter worked at Twitter during the pandemic. Musk tweeted this. He said, "My pronouns are Prosecute Fauci." Do we know to what extent Twitter influenced policies on COVID or the shot or prohibition of contrary thought?
Well, they were squelching anything that they deemed to be misinformation or anything that they thought disagreed with all the propaganda that was coming out of the CDC and Fauci and all that. I think one of the in terms of Fauci himself, he just flat out lied about the origin of this virus, whether it was being subsidized by taxpayers and everything else. We didn't find that out until recently. But at first, Twitter and Facebook and all these media, well, I shouldn't say all these, those two were squelching any information that was contrary to what any of these government bureaucrats were saying. They just flat out squelched it. Or if they didn't flat out squelch it and maybe remove you from the platform, permanently suspend you, they would append a note to it. Well, this is really not quite true. You know, go here for more information, and it took you to some official website.
Mm-hmm.
But they were all in. Twitter people were all in on the COVID propaganda. All in. Particularly the vaccines. I mean, all you got to do is follow it.
Yeah.
I haven't written about that as much, but I just know from following, I spend all day on the internet, so I just know from following Facebook and Twitter every day, all day, and being online, how much control they had over the COVID narrative. I saw it with my own eyes. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were just relentless.
Huge impact on swaying public opinion on any issue. Our court, Kirkwood, with us here today on Crosstalk. And, friends, we're talking about Twitter files. And also, child exploitation has been another issue. I mean, this past Monday, Twitter announced that they disbanded the company's Trust and Safety Council. Have you followed this part of the story at all?
I have not followed that part of the story. But in terms of child exploitation, and this is where it really gets crazy, is they shut down Libs of TikTok, which is that very popular Twitter account that tracks, these crazy drag queen shows in public schools and libraries where parents are taking their kids and they're stuffing dollar bills in some weirdo's panties. And, the woman who runs Libs of TikTok tracks this stuff, and, she's got it well over 1 million followers, and Facebook shut her down because they said you're exposing people to danger. Well, no, she's not. She's just showing video that they're taking.
Yeah, exposing.
The thing that really got her, the latest thing that got her in hot water with Twitter was posting the material from the hospitals that do the mutilation surgeries. And it's on her own website. So it's not like she's making it up. I mean, she's just posting material from their own website.
We got to take a break. We'll be back in 1 minute. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to get online with your question, your comment for our guest today, our number 800-733-9829. We'll be right back.
There is a significant uptick in the intensity of the issues bombarding us. It's not a single battle being waged, but an all-out war on numerous fronts. The attack on biblical values, the demonizing of Christianity, escalating lawlessness, the emerging secular agenda, and the growing control of the populace are all unfolding. These assaults share the common thread of globalism. Globalism by the powerful elites in order to have supremacy over the people, their land, government, commerce, energy, and even religion. In the book Globalism, The Great World Consumption, author Richard Smith tackles these matters head on by not only looking at the perilous times in which we live, but to see how this lust for control is propelling us toward a one-world political system and both a one-world economic and religious system. The book Globalism is available from VCY for a donation of $16 or more when you call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. We're talking about the Twitter files today. R. Court Kirkwood is with us, contributing writer to The New American, the website thenewamerican.com, thenewamerican.com. Folks, what is your reaction to this? I mean, we've seen things as far as the suppressing of the Hunter Biden laptop stories. We are seeing the removal of a sitting president of the United States of America. We see that election meddling issues going on. We see the shadow banning matters that are taking place. The whole matter of COVID and what information is going to go out to people and what information is being prohibited from going to people. What is your reaction to these things? Our number 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. One of the things on this here as well, Court, is the matter of control. And when we talk about totalitarianism, when we talk about communism, they're taking control over things like this. That's one of their key steps, is it not?
Well, it is. I mean, what's the first thing in the old days when we just had radios and we didn't even have television? But we did have one form of mass communication, and that was radio stations. What is the first thing that the totalitarians do when they move in to a conquered territory or a territory they're trying to conquer? They take control of the radio stations, and they begin broadcasting propaganda. Now, mm-hmm. What are our radio stations in modern America? Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, any of these groups, you know, so... You have, I don't know how many billion users on Twitter. Well, when you have that kind of reach and you're in control of the message, think of the power that gives you.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly when not only do you control the message, you can suppress, when you can suppress alternate voices on that medium, and they really, as a practical matter, have nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
To express their views. I mean, you know, Facebook, and it's a virtual monopoly on the means of public communication. So is Twitter. These are virtual monopolies. There are a significant number of people get their news or see their news ideas, stories to read on Facebook or Twitter. They don't watch TV. They don't read a newspaper. They look online every morning at their Twitter feed. They see what news stories are there. And if you and same with Google, you know, because they can control search results. You know, if you're looking for a certain news story,
right.
Google, the people at Google control whether you're going to see that in your search results.
Friends, our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. Still have some lines available, 800-733-9829. We have Patsy in Illinois. Hi, Patsy. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I was wondering what to do with the information that, you know, I'm ready to stand on the Christian values. I was just wondering how we could combat, you know, the misinformation and that.
Yeah. Good question. Thank you for the call. What do we do with this information? I mean, how is there any point of action people can take to this?
Well, you know, these are private companies, but I guess, you know, you put pressure on them by continuing to do what you do, making mm-hmm. your contributions to those platforms and putting pressure on the people that own these companies. To stop what they're doing. I don't know how much good that's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really a matter, I don't think. I don't know how much of a matter it would be for government involvement. I haven't thought about it too much. But, you know, there is one thing. I mean, there is one thing we have to realize. These people have the upper hand right now. Now, with Elon Musk in charge, you know, maybe that's going to change a little bit. But even with Elon Musk, he still has the upper hand. One person's in control. All right, so what you have to understand is that you're operating in an environment where basically we're not in control, okay? We have effectively undergone a communist coup in this country, and we have to realize that and act appropriately. So it's not 1950s America anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even 1985 America or 2000 America. We're in a different country now. And you know, we have to behave appropriately and begin to move to protect ourselves from these totalitarians that have power. I mean, if you just look at what was going on January 6th inside Congress with Pelosi and these Democrats, it was outrageous. When you have, for example, and let's look at the House Speaker, you know, when the Obamacare bill came up, was being voted on, somebody asked her a question, where is this authorized in the Constitution?
Mm-hmm.
And her answer was, oh, get serious.
Yeah.
There wasn't an answer.
Yeah, we need to pass. We've got to pass this so we find out what's in it.
Republicans, you know, in a powerful position there to stop that monstrosity. Yeah. We've always, you know, Trump had a Republican Senate and House for the first 2 years of his administration. Nothing happened.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got several people online here. Jose in Milwaukee, you're on the air.
Hi, I just want to let you guys know something. I am considered myself an average listener of VCY and the information that you guys share also with Brandon House. I share that information on Facebook with friends and church that I have on there.
Mm-hmm.
But literally this morning, funny thing, you guys are talking about this. Me and my wife, we share her account, and we could not get into it. And the reason they told us was because of supposedly suspicious activity. And my wife went through the chat to see if she can get back into our account. And the thing is that they asked her, they wanted proof by showing her ID. And my wife basically told her, why do you need this information? And I told her the same thing, but it was odd. She did not give them the information. But my question is, why would they even want her personal ID, and what would they do with it?
Hmm. Any response to that, Court?
Well, my one question is, are you sure you were talking to somebody at Facebook?
Well, it was like a link to our account, and it was immediately, it was like a suspicious activity, a link to their website, and we had to go through a chat system.
Right. I'd be very careful of that, because if they get your information, they can if that's a scammer, they could I'm not saying it is a scammer. Maybe really is Facebook. I thought you were going to say that they shut your account down for violating their guidelines because you shared something that was too Christian.
Well, the funny thing is that in the response, they say they blocked our account where no one on our page can see our information or account either.
My. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very thing we're talking about here. Thank you for the call.
You know, hey, I'll tell you, Facebook the other day, something came over my feed, and the Facebook regulators had hidden a picture of a rosary because it was sensitive content.
Chuck is calling
from
Klamath Falls, Oregon. Chuck, you're on the air.
Yes, when I started my Christian websites 10 years ago, the trajectory was going straight up. And but then after a few years, Google shadow banned me, so that now if you type in a search on my website on Google, you won't find my website. You can find it on maybe other smaller search engines, mm-hmm. but it's just almost impossible to find my website on Google.
Yeah.
So I just wanted.
Oh yeah, yeah. There are actually very prominent conservative websites that have been shadow banned by Google, where if you do a search, you'll get nothing from that website, even if you type the name of the website, you know, with your search term.
Thank you.
Nothing will come up.
Yeah, thank you, Chuck. Colleen, you're next. Menominee Falls, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm just so thankful for VCY, because you are over the air, and no one, I mean, aside from me sticking my nose out and talking to you now, I mean, you can hear anything with privacy over the air.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so thankful that you're there. I'm thankful for Elon Musk freeing up Twitter. But know that he is a transhumanist. Pray for him, because they can keep track of every single Twitter thing you take in.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, that's another aspect of this as well. everything you type is, I mean, it's really a permanent record there, Court.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything you put on Twitter, everything you put on Facebook is recorded.
Friends, our number 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Landy is next. Hi, Landy. You're on the air.
Hi there. Well, you know what I hear you both saying, and it's wonderful that you're bringing this information out, but I keep getting drawn back to the fact that what I'm hearing is that we're putting our trust in ourselves and what we can do to stop these things. We can't do a lot. We can do the small things that you're talking about, elected officials and so on and so forth, but, you know, our trust has to be in the Lord. We mm-hmm. have to pray incessantly, constantly for every one of these people and for every one of these situations and yep. put it in the Lord's hand, because ultimately, without question, he's the one that's going to change these things, and he is the one that's coming again to change them all. So I hate to say it this way, but I think you're spinning your wheels trying to figure out a way to stop all this stuff.
No, we're exposing us here, Landy, and I don't disagree with what you said at all, the important aspect of prayer, because all of these things that we bring up on Crosstalk indeed are evidences of depravity, of a spiritual issue that's going on in our world today. And certainly we know the answer is God. It is his word. That is which is a constant authority, our source of authority. And thank you for echoing that here today.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. We have next from Hartford. Brian, you're on the air.
Hi there. I got a possible solution. One second here. What if all the Christians band together and then knocked on doors, you know, with what's really going on? Or if, say, a company would, start out like an example would be like the Milwaukee Brewer Stadium. Rent out the Milwaukee Brewer Stadium, and everything can be outlined to what's really going on in the world, and get the word out. And it could spread that way. I don't know.
Okay. Well, thank you for your thoughts. And on that, it's one of the forms we're using, of course, is radio and reaching many people through this regard. The New Americans using the New American magazine, the newamerican.com as well to echo out that information. But I believe often in the issues that we talk about, you just use that sphere of influence that you have, the people you come in contact with. And as per the previous caller, to always keep these matters bathed in prayer as well. Yes, the answer doesn't lie within us. Certainly, God is the answer through such times as which we live. We are going to take a quick break, and we'll come back to the final segment here on Crosstalk. Our Court Kirkwood, our guest today, contributing writer to The New American, their website, thenewamerican.com. Back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Jesus in Luke 21 said, "Look up, your redemption draweth nigh when you see these things happening." In other words, he said, "Hey, you want to know what my second coming will look like? What will be going on before I arrive? Well, here's some of them," he says. Well, are we seeing some of these things happen? Wars, rumors of wars, plagues, pestilence. Yep. The Pentagon gives Ukraine the green light for drone strikes inside Russia. That's a headline today. And we'll be even providing some of the weaponry. You think they're pushing us toward World War III, the increasing of war? Now we have a pandemic simulation, once again, reported by the same players that were involved in the pandemic simulations in 2019 before the coronavirus in 2020. Now they're preparing for one that will kill upwards of a billion people, including children. They ran this in October of 2022. They're saying it's coming in 2025. I could go on and on. Plagues, pandemics, and other things the Bible predicted. Look up.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Our topic today, the Twitter files with Court Kirkwood, who's written on these matters here for The New American, their website, thenewamerican.com. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Reggie is calling in next. Hi, Reggie. You're on the air.
Hello. I'm a frequent listener and caller. I was wondering if you could recommend or give me some advice on how you can get people who are SOS, stuck on stupid, to see this lie. I mean, I have family and friends who are stuck, and it's just so, it hurts my heart that they believe this lie, and I need them to hear the truth. Can you suggest anything?
Well, one thing certainly is by listening to programs like this, The New American, Court, I know that it's just filled with articles and information that doesn't kowtow to, you know, the stories of the national media.
Well, I think, with regarding to hearing, learning the truth and getting at the truth of matters, you know, I think generally, I think with some people, you know, you have one thing will happen. You know, they'll look into one news story or they'll look into one claim and they'll find out that it's false. And that'll, you know, one thing will lead to another. The one thing I know is with most of these leftists, you know, you're not going to talk them out of their leftism. It's something, unfortunately, they have to do themselves. They've got to do the spade work and then begin to question the received wisdom. It takes, and let me give you an example of what I mean by this. So years ago, you know, we all know that Pearl Harbor, we all know the real story behind Pearl Harbor now, that Roosevelt knew it was coming. He provoked the Japanese into attacking us. Well, 40 years ago, when my father was still alive, I mentioned this to him, and he looked at me and he said, no president in the United States would ever do that. He just refused to believe it. Now, it's not because he was a stupid man. I can tell you that. It's just he, you know, from his era, from his time, he would never believe that could happen. And you have to get out of that. You have to get people out of that frame of mind to believe, oh, that could never happen. This is obviously false, or this person's, you know, irredeemably evil, or, you know, Trump's a racist, Trump's a sexist, Trump's a homophobe. He's not any of those things. But there are people who believe it. And I think that generally I don't know that there's anything you and I can do to change somebody's mind. That has to come internally with them.
Thank you for the call here. We've got Dave in Santa Fe, New Mexico. You're on the air.
Yes. Hey, Jim. I was just thinking if Jesus is here, he would have to say to us, what do we spend our time looking at this box, whether it's the Facebook box, the propaganda box, of this what streams across the airways. I mean, as believers, as Christians, we just do not even need to participate in this, whether it be Facebook, you know, television in general, whatever, Instagram and all this kind of stuff. I mean, this is all purely manipulated, utter lies.
Well, some of the things are utter lies. I would agree with you, Dave, but certainly technology and the various tools that it offers is also a platform to proclaim truth. And as a Christian broadcast network, we use it for that end. And so, therefore, we do operate television, for instance, but we are not kowtowing to the philosophies of this world. And so we also put it out on social media, for instance, VCY.TV. And so the technology itself is not so much the issue. It's how we utilize that technology. And even listening to radio, as you are right now, but using these platforms in order to advance truth, to advance biblical teachings, is a way that we can use these things for good and reach people who are very much invested in their time in going to these media sources.
Oh, I see what you mean, and I totally agree. And I basically listen to you and Brandon House every day, and that is the sum total of my quote-unquote news,
sure,
right? So, but I just mean the secular side.
Oh, yeah.
That we've got to be involved in.
Yep.
Commenting and, you know, Fox News said something, and absolute joke.
Yeah, it is filled with a lot of trash that's out there, and thank you for the call, and also, Court, as you're talking about, it's also filled with a lot of manipulation out there as well, which we have seen, you know, through the exposing of the Twitter files, how it was used, Twitter used for manipulation purposes.
Yes, it was. yeah. as anything can be. I mean, you know, the printing press has been used for manipulative purposes.
We've got Randy in Tomah, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Randy.
Yeah, hello, Jim and your guests. I just wanted to make a couple of comments. Being with the John Birch Society, we're quite familiar with companies and also a number of individuals and all sorts of different those in the media and a lot of different outlets that are in the Council on Foreign Relations or the CFR. And both Google and Facebook are corporate members of the CFR. And one other comment I wanted to make, too, this was in one of our magazines a while back, The New American, that I remember reading that in an article that Elon Musk was he's one of the young, they call them the young global leaders, that he was mentored by Klaus Schwab. So I'd be very careful with him.
Indeed, a very big picture here, and all part of the Great Reset, which we've talked about. We're going to squeeze one last call in, then a final comment from our guest. Jim, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, I'm just calling in regards to that gentleman that said, you know, just to pray about it, and we're spinning our tires by not doing, by trying to do stuff. And, yes, we should be praying about it, but if we don't act, shame on us. And that's why we're in this boat, is because too many Christians stood back and prayed and didn't do nothing, and we have to act. And it starts with the pastors in the booth, you know, but we have to act, otherwise it could get worse. And if Christians don't stand up, goodbye.
Thank you, Jim, for your call here today. As we talk about often on this program, being both salt and light. Final word from you here, Court. You have 30 seconds.
I just thought what that call was, that was interesting, because if you're just saying, well, I'm just going to pray and not do anything about it, you're committing a sin of presumption. You know, you're just presuming that God's going to come down and save you without any effort on your part, or God's going to ameliorate the situation without any effort on your part. Of course you should do something about it. Yeah. So I think what that caller said is very true.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I guess the upshot of this is we now know who was running Twitter, who was in control, and all of our worst suspicions and fears were confirmed.
Court, thank you for your time here today, and we're out of time, but thank you for exposing many things. Your writing's there at thenewamerican.com, and thanks for carving out the time to be with our listeners today.
Well, thanks for having me.
And friends, thanks for tuning in here to Crosstalk, and as always, yes, continue to keep this nation in prayer.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.